Well, before we read God's word, let us go to him in prayer to ask for his help and his blessing. O our Father, with all our souls we do bless you, and we forget not all the benefits that come with being called your children. We ask you through this service and the preaching of your word to meet us by your Holy Spirit, to forgive our iniquities, to heal our diseases, to redeem our lives, to crown us with steadfast love and mercy, to satisfy us with all that is good, and to renew our youth like the eagles. We cannot do any of that ourselves, but we depend upon you through Jesus Christ, your Son, to give us all of those abundant blessings and more. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, if you have them and you would like, you may open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. We will be looking at verses 14 through 29. And funny enough, this is the passage right before the one Jacob preached on last week. Well, this section of Mark deals with the identity of Jesus. People in Israel are starting to hear about Jesus and speculate about who he might be. As we will read in our passage, some are saying he is John the Baptist back from the dead. Some are saying that he is Elijah, and some are just saying that he is another prophet. But eventually in this section, it's going to lead us to Mark 8, the chapter where Peter finally rightly identifies who Jesus is, that he is the Christ, the anointed one of God. Yet in Mark 6, the question of Jesus' identity, specifically whether he is the resurrected John the Baptist or not, leads Mark to take a short detour from Jesus' life to explain the story that happened earlier to John the Baptist in the hands of Herod. So this is where we pick up with the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 14. Hear the word of the Lord. King Herod heard of it, that is, Jesus' works, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said John the Baptist had been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said he is Elijah. Another said he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. But because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his words to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. It's the reading of God's word. Well, legend has it that there are many troubled souls. Troubled souls that can find no peace in the afterlife, but must come back to this earth undead and roam about it forever seeking peace. Legend has it there are some troubled souls so terrorized by their tragic end in this world, they come back to terrorize and to haunt those who had done them wrong this side of the grave. Yet what legends often don't tell us that there are some troubled souls who have yet to die. Troubled souls who remain in the flesh, who might walk amongst us in the grocery stores, who eat and drink and laugh at our parties, who might live right next door. Even further, what legends often don't tell us is that you or I could be that troubled soul roaming about this earth in search of peace. You could be that troubled soul haunted by the ghosts of your own conscience. Well, that is the story we are going to hear about today. The story of a troubled soul haunted by the guilt of his own conscience. A soul who is oppressed by fear and guilt from his past actions. And is that you today? Does the ghost of your own conscience accuse you? Are you living a secret life of fear and guilt over your past actions? Well, if that is you, then it is high time for you to get rid of those ghosts of your past. For I want to propose to you tonight that the only way that you can be relieved from the haunting guilt of your conscience is to come find rest in the land of the Prince of Peace. I want to look at that from three headings this evening. First, the spell of seduction. Second, the haunting of Herod. And third, the Prince of Peace. So first, the spell of seduction. Even without Mark's explanation of what Herod did to John the Baptist, it'd be enough from verse 16 to figure out that something was wrong with Herod. John the Baptist rising from the dead with a thought that terrorized his soul. John the Baptist's supposed resurrection was as close as Herod could get to literally seeing a ghost from his past. But I want to ask, what is the reason that Herod, or what is the reason that we as human beings can in fact be haunted by our own consciences? What causes our consciences to be disturbed? Some might tell us that it's just simply the fact that we have insecurities about ourselves and we desire the affirmation of others. Some propose that we just simply fear pain. And others say it is simply because we have been taught right and wrong by our parents and we still somehow fear the consequences to disobeying them. But all of those are wrong. For instead, we as human beings have inherently built into us an understanding of obedience to God and of sinning against Him. And this sinning against Him, whether we admit it or not, weighs upon our consciences and it disturbs our souls. Yet if that is the case, if we intuitively understand the consequences of sin, then why do we dare rebel against our Maker? Well, that is where Herod's example is so instructive for us. It's because sin has a seductive power that is like being put under a strong spell. Hear how C.S. Lewis chillingly describes how sin is like a spell that slowly seduces us to obey its voice. It is done here by a witch tempting a prince, the Chronicles of Narnia. The witch representing sin, the prince representing us. He writes, "Now the witch said nothing at all, but moved gently across the room, always keeping her face and her eyes very steadily towards the prince. When she had come to a little ark set in the wall, not far from the fireplace, she opened it, and took out first a handful of the green powder. This she threw on the fire. It did not blaze much, but a very sweet and drowsy smell came from it. And all through the conversation which followed, the smell grew stronger, and it filled the room, and it made it harder to think. Secondly, she took out a musical instrument, rather like a mandolin. She began to play it with her fingers, steady, monotonous thrumming that you didn't notice after a few minutes. But the less you noticed it, the more it got into your brain and your blood. This also made it hard to think. After she had thrummed for a time, and the sweet smell was strong, she began speaking in a sweet, quiet you see in our text in verse 20 that King Herod feared John. He knew he was a righteous and a holy man. He had kept him safe, and he even heard him gladly. Yet the pleasant smell from the fire and the thrumming of the music and the sweet, quiet voice of sin was whispering in his ear. Though he knew what was right, his heart was captured by the spell of sin. Though he knew what was right, he simply could not cease from adultery. He could not give up Herodias. He simply could not give up sinning. But what about you? Is your heart no longer your own, but has it been taken prisoner by the seductive spell of sin? Well, if it is, do not think it a trifling matter. Do not think you can be gripped by sin's allure and keep it hidden from the outside world. For a heart captured by the spell of sin will lead you into terrible consequences. You see, Herod's enchantment under sin led him to do what he previously thought he would never do. He respected John. He feared him as a godly man. He would never do him harm, right? How foolish would it be to murder the prophet of the living God? Yet the spell was just too powerful for him. And at the dancing of Herodias' daughter, he did the previously unthinkable. He promised to behead the man he feared more than any other man. So do not think that you have control over your sin, whatever that sin may be. For now it may seem tame, but soon you may be like Herod, doing the previously unthinkable, bringing ghosts into your life, damaging all those around you, and invoking the displeasure of the God of justice. For where does sin lead us? Proverbs 7 tells us that the one seduced by sin is like this. It says, all at once he follows her, that is, he follows sin, as an ox goes to the slaughter. He does not know that following her will cost him his life. For sin leads down only one path, the path of spiritual and eternal death. It's down to a dark pit of the undead, the restless, the troubled souls roaming about for relief that just never quite comes. But this troubling of soul does not just begin at death, but as we have seen, begins even in this life. And that will lead us to our next heading, which is the haunting of Herod. That troubling of soul is the ghost of our own conscience. It is the weight of guilt pressing down upon our shoulders. It haunts the guilty soul everywhere it goes. It is said that the guilty conscience needs no accuser or tormentor because it has itself. And indeed, we see this in the life of King Herod. You can almost feel the sense of guilt and fear that now characterize Herod's life. I want to read for us again verses 14 through 16 to truly get a picture of this. It says, King Herod heard of it, that is, the works of Jesus, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. Another said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. Now you can imagine Herod sitting in his palace as he hears the speculation about who this Jesus might be, and a ghostly light coming over his face, and his eyes widening with fear. That great sin which he thought was behind him, as it turns out, had been haunting his soul all along. Now it seems to Herod that John the Baptist has come back from the dead to exact the vengeance of God. Here in Herod, we see that the haunting guilt of conscience is with all sinners. That is, with everyone in this world. No matter how practiced you might be at the art of putting on appearances, there is something terribly wrong on the inside of us all. No one is as put together as they seem. J.C. Ryle says this, "Everybody has a conscience. Underneath the surface of our public lives lies everyone's secret life. The pain, the regrets, the insecurities, the guilt, the fears. God has not left himself without witness in the hearts of all people. No matter if one accepts or denies God, there are thoughts within all of us, either accusing or excusing, according to our actions. Thoughts that will not be shut out. Thoughts that can make even kings like Herod restless and afraid." You see, no one would have dared charge Herod with a crime here. He was a lofty king, and John the Baptist a lowly preacher man. Herod had the power of the Romans behind him, and John had just a few disciples. But still, Herod did not get away with his crime. His conscience accuses him. He is living in constant guilt and fear because of it. God is haunting Herod's soul. Is your soul haunted like Herod's? Underneath the surface of your public life, does pain, regret, insecurity, guilt, fear find a home? Does the ghost of your own conscience weigh down upon you and make even the sunny days just a little bit gray? The question that is implicit from our text today and relevant to your life is, how could a Herod, or how could you find relief from your conscience? What can get rid of your guilt and your fear? We're trying to hide it. We're trying to numb it, do it. Well, no, I'm sure you are well aware by now that trying to hide it or to numb it is like trying to hold a beach ball at the bottom of a pool. It is a ton of effort just to have it keep resurfacing again and again and again back into your mind. But how about hardening your heart so much that you no longer feel the guilt and the pain? I'll tell you, perhaps that solution might work for you. But I tell you, you will live a shell of an existence. A life resorted to always partly cloudy skies. A life in a wasteland. A life without healing. A life in a land without rest or peace. So that is one of your options today. To harden your heart. Yet I hope you desire better things for your life. And if so, there is a far better remedy to relieve yourself from the haunted life of guilt and fear. And that is to come find rest in the land of the Prince of Peace. If your soul is haunted by sin today, Jesus is calling for you. He is calling you to come into his kingdom of peace, for he is known there as the architect and the builder and the ruler over all things peace. And today he calls you with these words. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." Or in other words, all those oppressed and weighed down by the guilt and fears of their conscience. He says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You see, Jesus came for people like you. People like Herod, once seduced by sin and now haunted by the guilt of their past actions. He came not to heap judgment upon you, but he came to give you healing and to give you peace. It is only by coming to him, acknowledging your sins to God, that you can get rid of your ghosts, that your conscience can finally be given the rest that you seek. Hear what David has said when he was tormented by his guilty past in Psalm 32. He says this, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. But when I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord,' he forgave the iniquity of my sin." You see, that is what Herod never brought himself to do. He lived a haunted existence, yet he would not confess his sin to God. He had fallen too deep into the spell and was trapped. For when Herod finally got to meet that Prince of Peace, the night of Jesus' crucifixion, he treated him with contempt, and he mocked him, and he sent him back to Pilate and to the angry mob. You see, God did give Herod a second chance. He had the chance to acquit Jesus of any of his supposed crimes, a chance to, in some sense, make up for the last time he was in the presence of such a mighty man of God. Herod had the chance to submit to the Prince of Peace and to relieve his guilty conscience for good. And yet he failed. So I exhort you, do not be like Herod today. Do not fail to take advantage of the opportunity the Lord has afforded you to make peace with him. For unlike John the Baptist, Jesus did in fact rise from the dead. He has been given power over life and death, over heaven, the earth, and hell. He has the power to free you from your guilty conscience, and he has the power to give you power to overcome the spell of seduction. Only in Jesus Christ can you be brought into a land where you will roam about not restless, not forever seeking peace, but you will roam about free from all terrors, free from the troubles of a haunted existence, free to live in rest and peace and with power to overcome all evil. If you try to hide your sin today or harden your heart from it, the haunting which comes from God will remain with you. But if you would just listen, you might hear another voice calling for you. Not the whispering voice of sin, but the voice of Jesus calling for you. Calling for you to find rest and peace in him through repentance and faith. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised. Promise for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon. For you and for me. Amen.